The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the gorgeously talented Julie Edinburgh, who's standing in for Jill Serkin. We kind of had a little bit of another problem as well, whereas our lovely guest for this afternoon for the second part of the show, Lisa, was unfortunately smitten with food poisoning.
Oh, shame.
Dodgy prawn, I reckon.
I love prawns as well.
Dodgy. So, luckily, I caught up with Dr. Ivan Misner at his home in California. Ivan is the founder of the global phenomenon, which is Business Network International, BNI.
Amazing.
Yeah, should we hear what Ivan had to say?
Let's do this.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome this afternoon onto the Business Bunker Show, Dr. Ivan Misner. Ivan is the founder and chief visionary officer of Business Network International, BNI. Dr. Misner, Ivan, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on, Paul.
It's a real pleasure, and we're really excited to have you on. BNI is a very well-known organization over here in the UK, and we have many, many listeners that are members of chapters around the country here. So maybe we can start off by you giving us a bit of history to what inspired you to think of this fantastic idea in the first place.
Well, you know, I think BNI is an example of necessity being the mother of invention. I needed referrals for my consulting practice. And I'd like to tell you that I had this vision of an international organization with thousands of chapters all over the world, but I just needed some referrals.
Yeah.
I put together some friends who I trusted. I hoped that they trusted me and that we would refer each other. Mm. And the reason I put that together was I went to networks that were really mercenary, and you know, I would leave those and I felt like I needed to get a shower because everyone was trying to sell to me. And then I went to these networks that were really social.
Yep.
Nobody was doing business and I didn't like either of those. And so I wanted to have something that was business related, but not hard sales, and that was relational.
Yep.
And the glue that would hold it together in my mind was this idea of giver's gain, this idea that if I help you, you'll help me, we'll all do better. And someone came who couldn't join that first group because we only take one person per profession. Mm. So one in each category. And she said, this is great. Would you help me open up my own chapter? Because I can't join your chapter. And I was like, no, this isn't what I do. I'm a business consultant. You know, I don't run a network. And she said, well, this is helping me with business. And I said, well, okay, that's a stretch. But so I opened a second group.
Yeah.
A couple dozen people came. Two couldn't join because of a conflict with the other professions. Mm. And they said, would you help us open up a group? And I said, no, this isn't what I do. I'm a business consultant.
Yeah.
And they made the same argument. At the end of the year, we had 20 chapters.
Right.
Wow. And that was the point. It was December 1985 where it just hit me. That was my Brody moment, you know, in the movie Jaws, where the chief of police says, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was my Brody moment. That was like, oh, this is going to be way bigger than I ever anticipated.
Yeah.
And that's when I created the plan to scale BNI. We now have over 10,100 chapters in more than 70 countries around the world.
That's fantastic. And I love that story because it is so true. There are so many entrepreneurs. I'm a business owner myself and exactly the same as you. So many entrepreneurs come up with an idea for a particular reason that just for whatever, just it takes off and grabs the imagination. I interview some people that have started businesses and they try to claim that they spotted all this and they worked it all out before they even started. And I really don't always believe that because in my experience, most successful entrepreneurs kind of hit on something and then go, wow, we could grow this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, it was an issue of looking back, because in December of every year, I take a week or more off and reflect.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the heck just happened? Because that was not in my plan.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about push marketing versus pull marketing. Push marketing where, man, you're pushing. It's hard work. Mm. And pull marketing where you're just getting pulled through the marketplace.
Yeah.
And I sat down and I thought, that is exactly what I'm experiencing. Being a consultant is push marketing.
Yeah, sure.
It's hard work. But I was being pulled through the marketplace. And I realized I'd better pay attention to this because this is going to be pretty big.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, wow, you can't get much bigger than you have. Well, I'm sure you can, but you know, it's a huge organization.
Well, we hope to. But yeah. I'll tell you a funny story. 6 months later, I was calculating how many chapters could be and I have someday. And I, you know, this is in the old days before Monsieur Google. You know, I had to go to the library and pick up books and look through the books on populations and whatnot. And I remember telling a friend of mine, I think BNI someday could have 10,000 chapters. And he looked at me and he said, and how many chapters do you have now? I said, 30. He said, and you think you could have 10,000 chapters? I said, yeah, I really do. And I remember him saying, well, it's good to have goals, Ivan. Very good to have goals. And here we are, took 36 years, and we hit 10,000.
Absolutely. I mean, but when you start to think about it and you think about the format of BNI and how it works and what it does, here in the UK, we have 5.9 million small businesses. Yeah. And we're only a small island, you know, on the edge of Europe. And we've got nearly 6 million businesses here. And they all need marketing and they all need customers. And most of them are run by people that don't know how to market or get customers.
Right. And they've never been taught in school how to build referrals.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, your 10,000 goal is, you know, once you think about it from that point of view, it's easily there, isn't it? The numbers are certainly there.
The numbers are there.
Yeah, absolutely. And where are you at the moment in that? How many chapters have you got?
We have 10,164.
So you've hit the goal, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I get a daily report on how many members and how many chapters we are worldwide.
Wow. Okay. That's unbelievable. And that's happened in the space of just over 35 years?
36 years.
Yeah, yeah. And that's awesome and unbelievable. But just for the one or two people, and there aren't many people, I mean, most people in the UK know about BNI, but just for the few that don't or that are new to business, just give us an overview, Ivan, if you would, of how it actually works when you're a member of a local chapter.
So we get together every week. Our primary purpose is to pass each other referrals. We have a very structured meeting where we have open networking for a while. Now, right now, most all of our chapters are meeting online. So we did a pivot last year from in-person, 10,000 weekly in-person meetings to 10,000 weekly online meetings.
Yeah.
We are transitioning back in some areas where it's safe. And so we get together, we network for a while, we have a structured meeting, everyone has a chance to introduce themselves every week. We have a featured speaker who's one of the members who goes into more detail, but more important than anything else, at the end of the meeting, we give the referrals.
Yeah.
And we each person stands up and they say, I have a referral for so-and-so, I have a referral for so-and-so. Last year, we passed over 13.1 million referrals.
Wow.
During COVID. Uh-huh. The craziest year of my lifetime. This organization passed 13 million referrals. They generated, in what we call thank you for closed business, those 13 million referrals were worth $16.2 billion U.S. dollars worth of business for our members during COVID. Really
That's
amazing.
That's unbelievable. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm interested in this as well because, as you say, BNI is traditionally a networking group, a referral group that meets normally in this country. They meet for breakfast. I don't know if it's the same everywhere.
It's pretty much the same everywhere. It varies a little, but over 85% of our groups meet in the morning.
Yeah. But, of course, during the pandemic, globally, we've all had to close down. We can't meet with each other. And lots of us have taken things online, as you've just said. Going forward, when we unwind from this and we're eventually back out, do you see that there may be some retention of online meetings as well as the face-to-face stuff? Or do you think you'll go back entirely to face-to-face?
I think the answer is yes. To going back to face-to-face, at least in part, and online. Yeah. We have 400 groups that have never met in person.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. We started the year with 9,700. We ended the year with about 10,100. So we have 400 groups who've never met in person. Okay. They may never meet in person.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're at this point, we're very open. We don't want to say this is what we're going to do. Instead, we want the market to help drive our direction. My inclination, my belief is that we'll end up with some combination, that there will be maybe some who meet only online, maybe some who only meet in person. But I think there's going to be a lot that will be a hybrid. They'll meet in person. They'll meet online maybe several weeks a month and meet in person once a month. Because in person, Paul, nothing beats in person.
Yeah.
Being able to shake someone's hands, look them in the three-dimensional eyes rather than a Zoom, you know, two-dimensional figure is just really powerful. So I think we're going to see some kind of combination.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And I couldn't agree more. I mean,
by the way, can I just add one thing? Yeah. I predicted that in 2018.
Right, okay.
Not because of COVID, but because of technology. I did an article for entrepreneur.com that basically said the future of face-to-face is online.
Mm.
And that we're going to see, because of technology, this transition to more and more online. And my organization kind of flipped out when I said that. Yeah. But now it's like, wow, look what's happening.
Absolutely. And sometimes these things act as a catalyst to drive where we're going to go. You know, I don't know if it's the same these days. Many years ago, I lived and worked in the US. But I'm not sure if it's the same there now. Here in the UK, we've had lots of small retail businesses, especially, that struggle against the big internet companies and online deliverers, but were very slow at adopting technology themselves.
Yeah.
And one of the benefits, if you can think of it like that, of the pandemic has been to force them into adopting technology. Yeah. So we've had a lot of small retailers go and develop e-commerce sites and click and collect sites and that kind of stuff, and have suddenly discovered the power and the cost savings of doing stuff online. Is that similar in the US?
Yeah, absolutely. No question. You know, we certainly had pushback in the early part of last year, certainly, you know, March, April of last year. I remember doing the very last live presentation I did last year, in-person presentation I did last year. And a woman came up to me afterwards and she said, you know, I see we're transitioning into online. I think that's important. But we have a guy, little gray hair like I have, you know, he's been around a long time. And she said he's a baby boomer and he just doesn't want to do the online thing. And I said, I don't usually tell people to say this, but I told her, say this. Tell him, Ivan said he hates change. It's true. I hate change.
Right, sure.
Yeah, who loves – well, maybe some people do, but I hate change. The only thing I hate more than change is failure.
Hmm.
And so tell him I said he can change or he can fail. The choice is his. You can't make him do it. He's got to want to do it. And those really are his choices right now. And I said that to him in March of last year. And here we are, 2021, same time frame roughly. And he made the change and, you know, still active in the organization and kept his business alive.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. One of the other things I want to kind of just talk to you about, if I may, Ivan, is you've also written a number of books, I believe. So just give us an overview of the kind of books that you've written and the subject matter.
Well, there's, you know, I've done 26 books. One of my favorites is Who's in Your Room? And it's about the quality of the people that you surround yourself with. You know, the people that you let into your life are going to be in your room forever, one way or another, whether they're in your mind or not. You know, even if you've gotten them out of your life, they're still in your head. And so it's about creating the secret to creating your best life. It's a real quick read. But I just recently did a book with two of your countrymen.
Right.
Greg Davies and Julian Lewis, we wrote a book called Infinite Giving, and it's about the seven principles of giver's gain. And, you know, it's been our core value in BNI almost since the beginning. And what we try to do with this book is to say, what is giver's gain? Mm. How does it evolve into infinite giving? And it's a book that I did with two people in the UK.
Right. Okay.
And it's available on Amazon, as are almost all my books.
Okay. So look out for that, folks. Check it out. Check it out on Amazon. Check out Ivan's books. So you've passed your 10,000 goals. The numbers involved in referrals in terms of business generated are absolutely phenomenal. I think you mentioned 16 billion US dollars. Where do you see the organization going from here?
Absolutely. Within the next, I believe, certainly 5 to 10 years, we're going to have millions of members, not hundreds of thousands.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to move this from 280,000 to millions of members. We haven't finished the number crunching.
Yeah.
Because we want to kind of have an idea of what kind of process, what kind of hybrid system or blended system we're going to have. But we believe that that blended system will actually enable us to have millions of members.
Yeah.
So it maybe took 30 years to get to the to a quarter of a million. We think that within 5 to 10 years, we'll be in the millions.
Absolutely. Over here again in the UK, during 2020, the year of the pandemic, we created 835,000 new businesses.
Wow.
Which is astonishing, really, isn't it?
It is.
Time when you can't do anything.
And many businesses pivoted. You know, they were in one business and transitioned, at least temporary. One of my favorites is a furniture reupholstery shop in California. Not exactly an essential business. She had to lay off all of her employees.
Right.
And one of the things that we do in BNI is one-to-ones, just like almost like we're doing here, where we're, you know, you get on a Zoom call and you do this one-to-one and talk to each other. And the BNI member said to her, you have a lot of cloth, don't you? And she said, well, I literally have tons of cloth in my warehouse. Right. He said, have you thought about making COVID masks? And she said, no. Now, this was back in March of 2020 when there weren't masks, you know, there weren't masks around.
Yeah.
And so she made 100 masks and gave two to 50 people, many BNI members. And she said, one's for you, one, give this one with my card to a nurse, to a doctor, to a senior center, and let them know that I can produce these very quickly.
Right.
She was inundated with orders.
I'm sure. Yeah.
She was able to re-employ all of the staff she laid off.
Wow.
You know, physically distance them. She became a COVID mask manufacturing business, an essential business.
Absolutely.
And what impact did that have? That impacted many families.
Yeah.
Who would have been out of work, but they were now working again because of her being able to pivot.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we've had some similar stories here. Where we are based in Kent, it's a great food and drink producing area. And we've got loads of beer brewers and gin distillers. And some of them pivoted into making hand sanitizer from alcohol. You know, it just required a bit of thought and the willingness to do it. And it's a bit like you said earlier about your colleague that you spoke to about either embracing change or failing.
Yeah.
When you sit there and go, my God, my business has just collapsed because of COVID. What can I do? You can either try and do something or you can just sit there and cry.
Yeah. So here's how I describe it. Over the years, I've seen during challenges, and last year was the biggest challenge I've ever seen, people either get frozen by fear or focused by fear.
Yeah.
And I kept telling people that would listen, you have we live in fearful times. Mm. You have to let that fear focus you. Mm. You need to hone in on what you can do and not obsess over all the things you can't do, because that won't get you where you want to go. And those people who got focused by fear ended up, I think, doing quite well.
Absolutely.
Under the circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Ivan, we're coming to the end of the time for the interview, and I just want to mention one of the things about BNI. Of course, we've talked a lot about its growth as a membership-based organization and the amount of referrals that you've made. But, of course, it is also a business organization, and you offer franchises to the right people. Do you just want to mention that briefly?
We do. We've been franchising for almost 30 years. It is a business opportunity in local regions. Most of the UK is covered. They exist. But some people will sometimes be in the market to transition out of the franchise and retire. So there are franchises available. We started that back in the US, I think in like 1991, we started franchising because we felt that local ownership really helped get a local focus. So the key here is that the business, when you're doing, when you're in a BNI chapter, it's supporting a local UK business, not just a global international company, but a local person. who runs the territory.
Absolutely. Look, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that, and we really do appreciate it. Dr. Ivan Meisner, founder and chief visionary officer of BNI, thank you so much for being on the Business Bunker Show.
Thanks for having me on, Paul. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
So that was Dr. Ivan Meisner of BNI, founder. Last minute guest, because we were having guest problems. While we've been listening to Ivan, everybody's been very active on Twitter.
Have they?
Yeah, they have.
What's going on? Share.
Yeah. Hold on. So,
Are we still calling it Twitter? Are we not meant to be calling it X?
Yeah, well, I call it Twitter because...
I still do as well.
I do a thing every day that says good morning Twitter. You can't good morning X. It's like you're talking to your ex-wife, isn't it?
This is it. What do you? You can't say. Well, you used to say I'm going to tweet someone. You can't. I'm going to X someone. That just sounds like you're going to take them out.
Yeah, exactly. It's horrible. It's a horrible name. I don't understand at all. So I just ignore it.
From a super clever man, why would he agree to calling it X? Come on.
I'm going to rush through some of these tweets because they were tweeted a little while ago and we don't want to lose the thread of it. Tracy Ferguson says, I'm tuned in live to the Business Bunker Show. Hi, everybody. Looking forward to the show. Thank you, Tracy, as always, for supporting us. We really do appreciate it. Michael Park Surveyors say they'd love a Business Bunker shout out and that they're listening in. So thank you for that. Tracy has said, I was trying to work out where this came from, but it was obviously something I read at the time.
Okay.
Which is the Kent and Medway Summit is on the 12th of January. And Tracy says, it's my birthday then.
Happy birthday for them.
And she said, she's got a gift that says 60 is the new 40. So, birthday. Yeah. DG East, hi Paul and your little helper. That's you.
The little helper.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like an elf now.
Buddy the elf, what's your favourite colour? Hi, Paul and your little helper. Please can you give a shout out to a very frustrated vehicle supplier having orders cancelled after 16 months by a grossly inefficient manufacturer. That's really bad to hear. I'm sorry to hear that, Terry.
That's frustrating.
You get it sorted out. And Martin Reeve says, didn't Business Bunker discuss why motorways go from east to west on a recent show? May have something to do while our railways go the same way. We did indeed, Martin. Well remembered.
That's true. We've only got one down here, haven't we? M20 in Kent.
M2 as well.
Oh, yes. I rarely go on that one, though.
Yeah,
does
that count? It's a rubbish motorway,
exactly.
That, isn't it? It's rubbish. It's not a lot of time, actually.
Does it really count?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Tracy says, I love the Clash version of I Fought the Law. Yeah, it's a bit raucous, though, Tracy, for...
What, for a Tuesday afternoon?
For a Tuesday afternoon, for old codgers like me.
I play it.
I did think about playing the Clash version, I must admit. IS Instruments say, we're in the office listening into the Business Bunker Show on Channel Radio with windows opening, entertaining Tunbridge with cheesy tunes and loving the unseasonable weather. Well, thank you for that. What else we got? Martin Reeves again talking about what we were talking about with Donal. I've only been to court twice in a civil claimant capacity. I was trying to launch Collector's Buddy back in 2002-03. Both judges were arrogant and I felt as if I was wasting their time. Very unprofessional and left me thinking, why did I bother? Yeah. He said, I got attacked when I was trading as Collector's Buddy, where a so-called friend tried to ruin my reputation online. So, rightly or wrongly, I gave him a bit of his own medicine and he spat his dummy out. He says,
oh,
karma.
Dear.
And Tracy's fabulous point, legislation being slanted towards big corporations. Is it all about profitability, which is forcing smaller businesses out of the market, as in so many other areas of business, follow the money? Great points from Donal. Brilliant Business Bunker conversation. And Sarah Marsh Collins, such an interesting conversation with Donal. I agree, Tracy. And yes, Vanilla Web, we really are a nation of small businesses, and it's a shame we're being targeted so relentlessly. Politicians hate small businesses, and I don't know why, but they do. And Martin again says, Martin Reeves says, thanks for my collector's buddy shout out. eBay is a minefield. When I traded in mobile phones, for every 10 phones I sold on eBay, about 7 customers would try and con you out of it. It got so bad, the police were phoning me up out of the scammers.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how I'd feel about buying a mobile phone off eBay, though.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. No. Yeah.
Bit sketchy.
Right, Jules has woken up as well. Cool.
Oh, is she better now?
Yeah. Did you get any tweets? Did anybody actually tweet you? The trouble is they don't always look at what I've put in the shout-out tweet.
Oh, God. Technical error, nothing loading. Can't see anything here. Hold on, Jules, I think. Is that Capricorn? Capricorn? Are we talking star signs now?
Yeah. Oh, that was Tracy saying her birthday was January.
Ah. That makes sense now.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about you.
Oh, let's talk about me.
Let's talk about you. There's something good this afternoon. Let's
something
talk about
good.
You.
Yeah. Okay. What have I got going on?
Yeah.
Where do I start, Paul?
I'll tell you what. Let's pretend I'm interviewing. I know you're the co-host, but I'm going to interview you as well. You have been on the show as a guest anyway, haven't you?
Yeah, when we launched Diamond Singles.
You did, yeah. But why don't you step through your various business interests, and then we'll also talk about the radio show.
Okay, so by day, I sound like a superhero. By day, I work in recruitment for Diamond Search Recruitment. So we recruit for marketing, sales, legal, engineering, commercial roles, customer service, all across Kent, well, to be honest, nationwide. And it's a crazy busy time at the minute, especially the lead up to Christmas.
Right.
You know, businesses are looking to get new starters for January. So, yeah, very busy time for us, which is really super exciting.
How are you finding the market at the moment? Because the market's been up and down all over the place over the last few years.
Yeah, that's just recruitment now.
Yeah.
No, at the minute, there's a shortage of quality candidates, candidates with relevant experience.
Yep.
You know, we were talking earlier on the show about how, you know, people coming out of university with all these degrees and can't find work, and they are struggling. We need to the government needs to help these guys coming out of college.
Do you want fries with that?
And, you know, give them opportunities, you know, more apprenticeships and schemes to help them get their foot through the door, because clients pay us in recruitment to find people with experience. And unfortunately, you know, grads don't have work experience per se.
It's the single biggest thing that I find is an issue. Is that young people have been sold a story that isn't actually true. You know, that they're told that by paying their 60 grand to go to university, they can pick a job at will when they come out. And that's not true.
No, absolutely not.
And one of the reasons it's not true is it used to be true in the 1950s and the 1960s, and that's because in the 1950s and the 1960s, and in fact a large part of the 1970s, less than 4% of the population went to university. So having a university degree was really, really unusual and really stood out. Do you know, now it's something like 64%.
Wow.
Has a university degree. So the degrees themselves have been devalued as a, for want of a better word, as a status symbol. Yeah. And people don't always think about that. You know, if everyone's got a degree, you use things like O-levels, how old am I? GCSEs, A-levels, HNDs, degrees. You use those not as an example of being able to do something, but as a starting point to say you must be reasonably intelligent, you must be reasonably able to learn stuff. The trouble is that the young people were told that having got this degree, it then became a license to get a job, and it isn't.
It's
not remotely.
No, and it's challenging for them. You know, you imagine you've just recently graduated, you've got thousands of pounds of debt behind you, and you're panicking now. You're in a situation where you're panicking, trying to find a relevant job that's going to complement the, you know, the degree you have. Let's say you've come out with a marketing degree, you want to ideally step into marketing. But with a lot of clients nowadays wanting experience, you don't have that experience. So that person, that graduate, is going to find any old job because they've got bills to pay ultimately.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then they get led down a different path. And that degree, that that's something that they've worked hard on for years and paid thousands and thousands of pounds for, gets pushed aside. And a lot of the time, people don't get to utilize that.
Mm.
You know, I'm one of them. I studied at university architecture.
Wow.
Then the recession happened back in 2008, so nobody was building. You know, there was no opportunity to get into that field. And then the next thing I knew, I fell into recruitment. And, you know, here I am 11 years later.
Did you do the whole degree? Because it's
7 years. Are you joking?
I was going to say, it's 7 years, isn't it? Yeah.
But, you know, when there was a recession at that time, it really did put a lot of people, pushed a lot of people back who'd just come out of university.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, that was a hard time. So now, so I can really sympathise with people coming out of university with the degree, and they want to utilise it, but they can't always.
Yeah.
And it's sad when they come to us as recruiters and we're trying to find them opportunities. It's difficult to, you know, explain to a client, look, we need to give these people that opportunity to gain experience, because where are they going to get it if they've always been in education? And like you said earlier, young people need to be taught that. They need to be told the realistic career path that happens once they come out of university. It's not a guarantee that you're going to go into the career path that you want.
Absolutely. It's it really is difficult, and I feel for young people. It's not their fault. You know, they are misled quite often, especially by politicians who tell you all kinds of nonsense. But it is about experience, and one of the things, going back to the 30-30 program I do in schools, one of the things we talk a lot about is gaining experience, and the fact that whilst qualifications of all kinds are incredibly useful, they're no substitute for actually learning once you go somewhere and learning how to do a job. So one of the things I recommend while people are studying is to work while they say, you know, just part-time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, get some work experience under your belt while you're studying. One, you've got some money to spend on, you know, going out, having a pint or whatever you want to do with it. And two, you're going to gain some experience, and you're building what are called transferable skills, which will enable you to do things.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. And just generally going back to recruitment and the market at the minute, as I said, trying to find really experienced talent at the moment, it is hard out there. There seems to still be an air of hesitancy with the candidates wanting to find new opportunities. Perhaps they're still burnt from COVID, because obviously a lot of businesses had to make huge redundancies. So people are still perhaps in that mindset of, oh, if I find a new job now and I'm the first, you know, the newest person in, if they need to make redundancies, am I going to be the first person out? So there's that air of hesitancy.
Yeah.
As well as the new hybrid and remote working option. A lot of candidates now want hybrid working or remote.
Mm-hmm.
And a bit from a company perspective, companies are paying huge overheads for buildings that are not being occupied anymore now, because staff are working from home.
Yeah.
So trying to find that balance of a candidate who is happy to come back into the office again Monday to Friday is challenging.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a very buoyant market at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah.
Definitely.
Cool.
That's what we're here for. That's what our clients pay us for.
Do you enjoy the work?
Love it.
Yeah.
It's the best feeling when you have a happy client. We found them their ideal person to fulfill this particular job.
Mm.
But the best part is when you're phoning that candidate to say, hey, look, you know, the client has offered you the role. You're changing someone's life, essentially. You know, everyone has to work. Everyone has to pay bills. And, yeah, I really, really enjoy what I do.
Right, I'm going to ask you a really horrible question.
Oh, yeah. Hit me with it.
Yeah. What's the worst part of your job? What's the bit you don't like the least?
Oh, gosh, the worst part is The worst part, I would say, is when you have to tell a candidate that they don't have the job.
Right.
Because with Diamond Search Recruitment, we only represent very high caliber candidates.
Right.
So the candidates that we supply our clients are, you know, are quality. They are ideal for the roles that they've given us. So if we send over, for argument's sake, three candidates for a job, they're all great candidates, you know.
But only one of them could get
one. Exactly. So there's two phone calls which I absolutely hate making because they are great candidates, but someone's just pipped them to the post.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is disheartening for them as the candidate and for us as the recruiter. It's also, is the worst.
It's also difficult, isn't it? Because they go, well, why didn't I get a job? Well, I don't know. You smell.
We do our best to give them candidate feedback always. Yeah, of course. Because, you know, we want to still continue representing that candidate. Yeah. And if the feedback helps them in their next interview, then, as I said, you know, I know I'm repeating, but we only represent high caliber candidates for our clients. Our clients are paying us for a service.
Yep.
So we want to represent the best.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Okay.
But that's my day job.
So that's the day job. Let's move on to what else you get up to.
So earlier this year, my business partner and I launched Diamond Singles, which is social events for single people. The reason that the concept behind this idea was when I became single last year, it kind of resonated very quickly with me that there's nowhere where people can go and meet other single people on a face-to-face basis, especially in Kent. There just was nowhere. And I have, you know, a lot of friends, a lot of people that have done the online dating thing, and, you know, you read it all on social media. And people are kind of slightly over online dating. I mean, it's still there and it has its place. Absolutely. And, it does work for some people.
Yeah.
But I get a lot of people saying, gosh, I just want to go and meet somebody who's real, you know, an actual face-to-face person. So Noreen, my business partner, and I put our heads together and we thought, hey, we're just going to put on events across Kent and just invite single people so they can come together in harmony. No, but they can come together in a, you know, a very low-key, no-pressured environment and, you know, mingle and meet, expand their social network and potentially meet a love connection. Who knows? But there's never any pressure for that. It is to expand your network.
So talk me through some of your singles events. Where do they happen? What kind of places happen? And what do you do on them? You know, I've seen over the years, I've seen lots of different ways of doing that, you know, from just speed dating to meals out and stuff like that.
So we've done a lot of speed dating events. Our most successful one in Canterbury at number 35, a beautiful venue there. We host speed dating. So it's 12 women, 12 men coming together. The ladies sit down, one at each table, and then the gentlemen will come in and sit opposite a lady and have a conversation for 4 minutes, which we time. And once the 4 minutes is up, they have a scorecard, which everybody is given, and they have to tick yes for a potential relationship, no, or just friends.
Right.
And they then, every 4 minutes, the men will move on to the next table and have another 4 minute conversation with the next lady. And then when that 4 minutes is over, they make their decision, tick a box, and so on. And it repeats 12 times.
Okay.
And it's such a great event because speed dating's been going for years. It's a very, I think, 70s thing. I think that's when it kind of really took off. And we're kind of bringing it back, but with a little bit of a twist where everybody gets together at the beginning. They have a few drinks at the bar and have a little mingle, and we host, and the hosting is quite key. We, you know, we do little mini introductions. Then everyone gets to sit down and participate in the speed dating. And then afterwards, if people are still, you know, still in the party mood, let's say, we will just take them for a few drinks afterwards where they can, you know, if there was somebody that they perhaps wanted to speak to a little bit more than the 4 minutes, then they can just
cool.
do this. And it works. It really does. It's fantastic when we read the scorecards. And
I was going to say, right, now this is where I want to get to, right?
Bit.
Yeah. Now you've got all the scorecards, right?
Yeah.
So you see all the people that desperately ticked, oh, yes, and the ones who went, you're joking.
And the notes that people leave are the best.
Oh, do they leave
part.
Notes?
Oh, yeah.
Right, smells or what kind of notes do people leave?
Just, I don't know. It's
not, are they horrible?
It's not past 9 o'clock yet. I don't think I could say.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we've had some saucy notes on there, but just generally like nice guy.
Right.
I don't know, salesman or what have you, or not for me. Yeah. But usually people are kind.
Okay.
Yeah. We do promote be kind.
I was going to say, you got three categories, which is yes, no, and just friends, which is, yeah, do most people tick just friends rather than no or?
No, we do get a lot of no's.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I suppose because it's anonymous at that level.
Well,
because you're not saying no to the person. It's just
not for me.
Yeah. And yeah, but you're not saying it directly to me.
No.
If you see what I mean.
And we'll politely say you just simply didn't match.
Yeah.
So a match is when two people have ticked yes to each other, and then we will give them contact details, and then they can continue talking to one another. And similarly, if two people have ticked friends and they just simply want to hang out as friends, we will get them, put them in contact. So that's just the speed dating events that we're putting on.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this.
Oh, okay.
On average, I don't know, you know, so how many double yeses do you get?
So
do you get many?
Since we launched February this year on Valentine's Day, obviously, Cupid's Day.
Obviously.
every speed dating event that we've hosted, we have always had at the very least one match.
Okay.
We've had one particular event which was extremely successful, and we had out of the 24 people that attended, we had, I think, 10 matches.
Wow, that is a big statistic.
That particular night was a very, very successful one. The last one that we held, I think that was 2 weeks ago now, we had 2 matches. But a lot of people can say yes, but if somebody else has put just friends, we don't consider that a match. It has to be a like for like.
Yeah.
But yeah, but every time we've hosted, there's always been a match, which is fantastic. And we also have a group on Facebook, the Diamond Singles Facebook group, where a lot of interaction, a lot of people are talking and coming on board, and people have met through that, which is fantastic. And, you know, we're kind of keeping an eye on one or two people kind of that have started a relationship. You know, I might be able to get my wedding hat out soon.
Yeah, okay.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, Diamond Singles will have their first wedding perhaps in within the year. Wouldn't that be exciting?
Fantastic. And then you and the lovely Noreen launched the radio show.
Yes, we did. And gosh, that's really, really exciting. So every Wednesday between 7 and 8 o'clock here, we have the Diamond Singles Show, where we talk about everything singles related, relationship related. And we have a lot of guest speakers. I'm very excited about the guest speaker that we have this Wednesday, a gentleman called Ben, who he specializes in therapy for people who've come out of very traumatic breakups, and he has a very unique way of giving them this therapy. It's Noreen's arranged this, so I've only got tidbits of what he does, so I'm very intrigued. But it has something to do with a waterbed, believe it or not, and like a counseling session whilst the person is laying on the waterbed.
Right.
Have you heard of tapping as a form of therapy?
Yeah, well, like.
So like a physical form of therapy.
It's like, what do you want to call it, with a needle, acupuncture.
Yeah,
but
so
tapping,
I think it's a similar concept. So, you know, tune in on Wednesday and you'll find out a little bit more. I know I'm certainly intrigued by it.
On a waterbed, right.
Yeah, well, I've never been on a waterbed, so I might see if I can have a go. How fun.
Right, okay. as you say, the show 7 to 8 on a Wednesday is, I often listen to the show because even though I'm not single and I have no desire to be single, there's lots of interesting stuff on there, lots of interesting stories.
Well, we do talk about relationships as well, because
you know,
people have to also remember that just because they're in a relationship, it's never going to be perfect. There's no such thing as the perfect relationship. Everybody has to work on it. And and on the show, we talk a lot about self-confidence and confidence as a whole.
Yeah.
And you need to be confident in yourself in order to project the best version of you and be the best version of you and be happy with yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're happy with yourself, other people will naturally be drawn to you, will like you. And when you're in a relationship, you bring out the best in you. And if you're not bringing that out, then it's going to have, you know, negative connotations to the relationship. And so we do talk about things from a, you know, relationship perspective. It's not just solely, oh, if you're single, you tune in. Anybody can tune in. It's
fascinating. And without being funny, I mean, you quite often have a regular guest, Mark, on the show, who's, I guess, is a psychologist.
He's our psychotherapist.
Yeah.
Well, not my psychotherapist. He is a qualified, trained psychotherapist.
And he has lots of interesting insights that are very apposite to any kind of relationship, not just, you know, romantic relationships, but, you know, dealing with other people.
Exactly. Well, it's people at the end of the day that you're dealing with. Yeah. And Mark is a fantastic asset to Diamond Singles. He comes along to all of our events and he supports, whereas Noreen and I help support the women, and, you know, we help them and talk to them and give them advice on, you know, questions to ask on a speed dating event and whatnot. Mark will do the same for the guys that that come about, and he has great insight because of what he does. He talks a lot about body language as well, because body language in dating is huge.
Yep.
He's fantastic, and he'll be on the show joining us as well on Wednesday, so it's going to be a busy one.
Absolutely. It's interesting what you say, and I think a lot of people coming back into or coming out of relationships into new relationships after a period of time do need a lot of help and advice as well, especially blokes. I mean, about how to dress themselves properly, and
sometimes it is the basics that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
And you know, we're always here to help. And again, with the speed dating events, because we host them, the hosting is so important. We will help people. We will contact them beforehand, or say to them, contact us, and we will help you with, you know, any questions to ask people, and even inform them of, you know, dress codes, because sometimes people do need a little bit of help with things.
Absolutely,
like that.
Yeah.
And it's not just speed dating that Diamond Singles do. We also host single nights, which is more of a relaxed sort of party evening, which we have the next one coming up for Halloween on Saturday the 28th of October. Again, over in Canterbury at number 35.
Right.
But we will be launching at the end of the month more venues across Kent.
Okay.
So that's taken a little while to put together, but we're just about ready to launch that on the website so people can start expanding across Kent and coming to our events.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so lots happening. It's exciting.
Are you pleased with how the business has progressed?
Very, very. Yeah. Especially the feedback that we get, you know. Mm. We put a lot of time, our own personal time, into hosting these events.
Yeah.
And it's just lovely, a breath of fresh air when somebody comes up to us and says, you know, oh, I've met somebody. And even if it's just a friendship that's being formed, you've also helped them expand their social network and help them with confidence. Because where do you go out now where you can, you know, sit down, talk to people like-minded who perhaps are also looking for somebody in a relationship? You can't really, unless you go to the bar or a club. And again, you have that awkward moment of, are they even single? Oh, sorry, you're married. You know, it's quite awkward.
Yeah.
So we provide events where everybody there is single, and you can just relax knowing that everybody there is also looking for a potential partner.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, it's fantastic.
Cool. Well, really fantastic. Happy. That's really good. Thank you for explaining all of that. Just to emphasize that if you want to listen, and you should, because it is a really entertaining show, and I'm not just saying that, the Diamond Single Show is on Channel Radio, channelradio.co.uk or bizradio.co.uk, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on a Wednesday night. It is available as a listen again on both bizradio.co.uk / Diamond Singles or on Channel Radio. So do check it out. It's good. It's
the
good.
Stories that come out are hilarious.
There's some fantastic stories, and
we do encourage people to message us with dating stories, yeah. Funny dating stories, or any questions about dating. And yeah. Honestly, some of the things that people send us, we just can't read out.
But I hope there's a special coming there somewhere, and after the watershed special.
Indeed.
Cool. We're almost at the end of the show, Julie.
Already?
Yeah. Have you got any email? Still to read?
Have I got any emails still to read? Let's have a look, shall we? So, Camber Beach Clean. Ooh, this looks like a lovely one. Mm. Join the Gallivant for our next community beach clean. Keeping our local beach clean, tidy, and safe for wildlife and visitors is a cause we hold close to our hearts. So, the event, food and drinks are free. Donations on the day to Blood Cancer UK, we will warmly be welcomed. So meet at the Gallivant. I don't see a date on here for this.
It's a fairly regular event. So yeah, okay. Basically, if you go into Eventbrite, you'll find out where the next event is.
Right. I think that might be all the emails.
Okay, I've got a couple. Tomorrow, manana, Wednesday the 11th of October, Social Enterprise Kent have created an event that's taking place at the Turner Contemporary Gallery in Margate. They say sustainable social business models in a rapidly changing world. Social organisations face unique challenges in ensuring their long-term financial stability while staying true to their mission. So it's taking place tomorrow. If you want to find out more or book your place, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. We've also got coffee morning at Kenwood. There's a monthly coffee morning at Kenwood Trust. It's the last Thursday in each month, which means that the next one is on Thursday the 26th of October. There's cakes and savouries available, as well as tea and coffee. It takes place between 10:30 and 3 p.m. All the proceeds, it happens at the cafe at the Kenwood Place. I'll give you the address in a minute. All the proceeds go to the charity for supporting their work.
Fantastic.
And Kenwood Trust is a residential home for people with drink and drug addictions. So 26th of October at the cafe at Kenwood Trust, which is Kenwood Road, Yalding, just outside Maidstone, ME186AH. And also the lovely, the absolutely stunningly lovely Cheryl Corsbrook and Ella Brocklebank have got their annual Kent Construction Charity Ball.
Oh, lovely, lovable.
Yeah, in aid of Donations with a Difference, Dad. DWOD, actually, Donations with a Difference. This is taking place on Friday the 24th of November. It's 7 p.m. until 2 a.m.
Ooh, late night.
Those girls are party animals. They really are. Yeah. It's at the Ashford International Hotel. There's a drinks reception, a three-course meal, raffle and auction, and then DJ and dance floor until the early hours of the morning.
Yeah, very early by the sound of it.
Absolutely. all in aid of Donations with a Difference, which is their charity. The Kent Construction Charity Ball, Friday the 24th of November. If you want to book a table, trustees@dwad.organisation, trustees@dwad.org to book your ticket.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into that. Lovable.
Mm, absolutely.
Chance to dress up, support a charity too. Lovely.
Yeah, I like to put my ball gown on and...
Oh, I bet you look lovely in a ball gown.
I do. I really do. I'm doing the Sevenoaks Business Awards next week. I'm comparing it. And they sent me a note saying, please remember to sort out your DJ. Because last year, on the morning, I went to put my DJ on and I couldn't do it up.
Oh no!
And I had to tear around the countryside trying to buy a dinner suit that could fit me. So they emailed me to remind me to check this year. And of course, I actually have a similar problem because I've now lost about 3 stone. So now I've only got a big dinner suit. So now I've got to go and buy a smaller one.
Any excuse to shop, Paul.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Anyway, enough of that.
Well, if you want a ball gown, I've got plenty at hand.
hold on. Drop that. So we've reached the end of another show. I want to say a huge thank you to Donald Blaney from Griffin Law, who are sponsors and supporters of this year's Kent Business Awards. And just to remind you that the Maidstone Award and the Tunbridge Wells Award are still open for nominations, so do that. And then the awards dinner is taking place in November at the Kent Event Centre in Detling. So that's in the county showground, because that's going to be a huge, huge event.
Awesome.
So we're looking forward to that. I want to say a huge thank you to Dr. Ivan Misner, the founder of BNI, for his interview earlier, and for the gorgeously talented Julie Edinburgh, who not only stepped in and saved me as a co-host, but also acted as partial guest as well. So you've worked really hard, Julie, and I really, really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for asking. Yeah, pleasure.
But we'll be back with another show next week. Stay safe, everybody, and see you soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is Channel 2.